This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. And now it's time for your letters. We're still fresh off of our love hangover from Valentine's Day here at Money this week, so we've invited a couple of personal finance experts to answer your questions about money and relationships. Bob and Christy Walker have been married for 22 years, and for the last four of them, they've written the blog Frugal Fun and Financial Fitness. Bob and Christy, welcome to Marketplace Money.
Thanks, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thanks for bringing us on the show with you.
Have you always approached money in the same way, or did you come at personal finance from completely different angles?
Oh, different angles.
I come from 18 years of banking, where I would stay up all night searching for a dime if my checkbook did not balance. Christy, on the other hand, being a single mom with two kids, had a different approach to balancing her checkbook.
What's that?
I put money in an envelope, and I knew that's what I had to spend on groceries or that's what we had to spend on fun, and there was no problem. I didn't have time to balance that checkbook. So it was quite a surprise when, after we got married and we went to go combine the account, that I had never balanced our checkbook.
I think we all know that money is one of the top things that couples fight about. But from your experience, what do couples most often get wrong about dealing with money and talking about money with each other in a relationship?
What I hear most often is when you're sitting down and you're going over what happened over the past period, if you did set up a budget and someone broke the rules, a lot of blame. Instead of starting fresh from this point forward, what caused this hurdle and what can we do in the future to make it a little bit easier to stay within these parameters?
I agree. I think, we used to have those struggles. And then coming together, setting a budget based on our values, it's easier to address it. You know, one of my favorite movies is Lion King, and we're all going to mess up. And I like what Pumbaa says is that you got to put your behind in the past. Or when Rafiki hits Simba over the head and Simba goes, "What's that for?" Because it doesn't matter. It's in the past. You just have to start off fresh. You can take a look and say, hey, our budget wasn't right. What do we do differently this time?
So don't hold a grudge. I think that applies to so many marital situations.
Yeah. And, keep the past out of it. Keep focused on what you want to accomplish.
Well, it is certainly a pleasure to have you both here today to talk about some of these thorny relationship issues and also money with our listeners. Are you ready to take some calls?
Ready.
Great. We have Nina on the line with us from Bolton, Massachusetts, I see. Nina, or should I say Ninochka? What a beautiful name.
Oh, good pronunciation. Thank you.
Russian?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's the name of a Greta Garbo movie.
I know. I see from your letter that you have an issue with budgeting. What's your question for Bob and Christy?
So my husband is a self-employed contractor. And so, of course, depending on the job, some months are great, some months not so great. And I don't know how to budget for, that kind of sporadic income. And it just drives me crazy.
Nina, do you also work?
I do. I work part-time. We have three kids, so I work about 25 hours a week. And I'm in finance. I'm an accountant. So it more so drives me crazy because I feel like I should know how to do this. And, I listen to your show, and I know I'm supposed to save for retirement, and it's overwhelming.
Oh, it's so hard, and you're juggling a lot there with kids and a job.
And we have quite a bit of credit card debt. That's the other piece of the puzzle that's frustrating.
Bob, Christy, any words of wisdom for Nina on how she and her husband can manage this fluctuating income better?
Well, Nina, your situation is really interesting. It's similar to ours. A while back, I did my own consulting, so, self-employed contractor here, where I made more money in 1 month than ever before, and then, some months were really lean. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things that we did, first is that we wrote down where we spent every penny, and that really showed us little leaks that we could stop and not change our lifestyle dramatically, but make changes.
Like what?
Logging where we spent money, we were spending over $600 a month eating out. So just by cooking a few meals at home, we were able to set up a college savings account for our kids.
Do I have to give up Dunkin' Donuts?
It depends on how much time you spend on the treadmill.
That's true.
And this might be a family exercise as far as what do you as a family really value? And get the kids involved, teach them a little bit about money management. The goal for you guys is to really set up a big emergency fund where you can smooth out those months and then use the envelope system.
Yeah, I was just going to say, since your income is so variable, stop using those credit cards if at all possible. And for every month, making a payment to one of the credit cards, focus on getting that balance to zero, as well as paying into your savings account at the same time. And so eventually, that's what you're going to be tapping instead of turning to those credit cards.
Some of the other things with credit cards are really tempting to use.
Yes, they are.
One of the things that, you know, it's hard to really cut up credit cards. But what you can do is put your credit cards in a little plastic bowl, fill that bowl full of water, and stick it in your freezer. So
what?
You're literally putting
your credit cards on ice.
No.
You freeze you literally freeze your credit card.
Freeze your credit cards. They're there for an emergency. So if you really need something, instead of a cooling down period, I guess you'd have a warming up period.
Nina, you've got to speak up here.
Stick it in the microwave.
I like it.
So you think that would do it for you, huh?
I don't know if I have the discipline to do it. You know, it's funny because when you have these lean months, you just so rely on the credit cards to get by, and it creates this bad habit. And I agree. That's what I need to change, I think.
Well, I know that I don't cook fish that I have in my freezer because I have to defrost it. So.
So there you go. You wouldn't go to the store now.
How does all that sound, Nina?
It sounds great. It sounds hard, but I can try.
Very practical. Well, those envelopes really do help. I know that.
Actually, we just passed through our Valentine's week. A really good exercise for you and your husband is to sit down and do an assessment of every penny that you spend, even if it's just for 1 week, and strategize together on different options that you have. We find when we're most busy is when we were most tempted to eat out. And so starting that crock pot on Sunday night and plugging in before I left, even though I was tired, I knew a meal was already made, so we weren't going to go out to eat.
It really adds up. The other thing that I really encourage you to do is make it a whole family exercise. You know, involve the kids, get everybody involved in it, and have everybody kind of focused on the same goal and keep each other strong.
We have talked about cutting the cable cord there, and that's definitely, I think, the whole family's coming around to it.
Nina, there's a slew of suggestions. I hope some of them work out for you.
Yeah, that was terrific. Thank you so much.
And thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Care.
Thanks, Nina.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
More of your letters and advice coming up with Bob and Christy Walker. That's just ahead.
Marketplace Money is supported by the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to more than 6,000 technology companies at powerofideas.org. Marketplace's Asia coverage is supported in part by the Star Foundation. Personal finance reporting on Marketplace is supported by Ally Bank, who believes in getting more from your news and your money, offering money market accounts. Learn more at allybank.com.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. Well, let's take another call. Let's see. We have Leah on the line calling us from Baltimore, Maryland. Leah, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi. So I see you have a lot going on in your financial life. Why don't you tell us what's been happening?
My husband and I were recently married, and through that we ended up incurring some credit card debt. And I'm a graduate student, and he works full-time, and we're able to cover monthly expenses, but we recently got some money from my grandfather's estate. He passed away last year. And we're just trying to figure out the wisest way to use this inheritance. It's definitely good options right now. We can pay off the credit cards and spend the rest on opening an IRA, or we could put more into retirement savings and just keep paying off the credit cards, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month like we've been doing. So I guess, yeah, the question of, how do I balance and weigh this payoff debt versus save for retirement?
Well, first, I'm sorry about your grandfather's passing.
Thank you.
And, you know, also congratulations on thinking so far ahead as a young couple towards your retirement. So, Bob and Christy, retirement versus paying off debt. How do you unravel that?
Yes. So do you guys have an emergency fund, or how are you sitting that way?
We have a couple thousand dollars in an emergency fund.
Okay. That's good. You want to be sure that you have that. credit card debt, I would try to stop using credit cards as much as possible, go on a cash basis.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, when my grandmother passed, she gave us some money, and we put that into an account. It was into some mutual funds, and
right.
that's our rainy day fund. And when our son got married, he chose Hawaii as the place to get married. We used that for the rainy day fund, and I thank Grandma for being able to afford for us to go to Hawaii with the family.
On a whim.
Yeah, on a whim. We didn't have much notice on it.
Oh, wow.
But I would work hard at paying off the credit card debts. And the studies show now that there's empirical data that you're more likely to stick to paying off your credit cards if you start with the smallest balance, pay that off, and then once that's paid off, move what you're paying that to the next smallest balance to work on that and stick to it that way.
And Bob and Christy, are you thinking Leah is a graduate student now, but in the future, we hope and we expect she will be working and earning an income, and they can deal with the retirement issues a little later as a couple?
So it's never too early to start those IRAs. I was going to say, does your inheritance, the amount, does it cover? Can you do both, wipe out your credit card plus at least put a little bit away?
Yes. Well, that's kind of the question is, like, we have a budget, so conceivably if we paid off the credit cards, we'd probably split what we're putting in credit cards now between, like, IRA deposits and maybe beef up that emergency fund a little bit more.
I would personally go for both. Doing a Roth IRA, even investing, this is what we tell our kids as soon as they started their part-time jobs when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I want our kids to be wealthy to take care of us when we retire. So, you know, we've really encouraged that Roth IRA.
Yeah, the power of compound interest, any little bit that you can put away now, it just has huge paybacks 50 years from now. So try to get rid of as much of those credit cards as possible, but also split it to the Roth IRA.
Okay.
Yeah, I would pay off the credit cards, cut off the credit cards, put them on ice, whatever, just, you know, so that you don't use them again.
Right.
And then take that payment and open up a Roth IRA.
Leah, I hope this does it for you. You have some ideas now.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's take another call. We have Spencer on the line, I see. Holding on. He's calling us from Grand Blanc, Michigan. I promise probably really messed that one up, right? Grand Blanc?
Not too
what
far
do you say?
Off. Not too far. It was Grand Blanc.
So where is Grand Blanc in the big cold state of Michigan?
It's just south of Flint and about maybe 30 minutes north of Detroit, Metro Detroit area.
Great. Now I can picture you. Well, Spencer, you fell behind in your mortgage, I see from your letter, but you talked to the bank and you persevered and they actually lowered your rate and they knocked $30,000 off your mortgage. Way to go.
I was pretty excited that we did that.
So what happened then?
Now, about 2 weeks ago, we got real unexcited when we received a 1099 in the mail for the $30,000.
I was waiting for the end of that, end of this story.
This is basically catastrophic to our current plans. We both make about, combined income, about $60,000 a year. And so to add another $30,000 to that for last year's income, we had not planned to pay the taxes on such a windfall. And the money that we do have saved, we had planned to pursue the adoption of a little girl from Russia this year.
Wow.
And so we're pretty upset right now.
So much to deal with. So let's see what kind of advice the Walkers have for you.
Yes, that'd be great.
Spencer, what a story. First of all, congratulations for digging out of debt and working with that lender to negotiate your payment plan and working it to completion. It says a lot. Is it your original mortgage? You never refinanced it. Okay, good.
So there's some good news for you. So you can breathe a little bit easier. The Mortgage Forgiveness Debt Relief Act of 2007 will actually allow you to not claim that as income, and it's up to $2 million forgiven for a married couple or $1 million if you're filed separately. So, you're $30,000.
That's wonderful.
Now, the thing—
I'm so happy
for you,
Spencer. I didn't know if that was still in effect. That
it is still in
got
effect.
Extended.
It got extended, so— mm-hmm. as long as it was the amount was forgiven between 2007 and 2012, you're good there. Now, the bank sent out a 1099-C, so they have to do that because usually if a debt is forgiven, that is taxable income.
Gotcha.
So you have to do that. Now, the one thing that, you know, it's not universal for everybody. So if I had my home for 10 years and I refinanced my home, and I took $20,000 to pay off credit cards and go on a vacation, that amount of the refinance would not be eligible for forgiveness. So it's only the amount of the principal amount that you borrowed for the purchase of your home. And if you refinanced and added on a garage or a second room, anything for major modifications in the house, that would raise up your basis to whatever that is. So does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah. Do you feel more confident, Spencer, in adopting a child?
Really, our income is there for this child, and we have a wonderful support system in Grand Blanc for special needs children. She actually has Down syndrome, and so we're real excited to do that. I know financially we can support this, but in the short run, we needed money to actually fly to Russia, and being 1099'd, an additional $30,000 this year was not in our financial plan, so... I'm very hopeful.
Your adoption expenses, you have more tax opportunity here. When do you foresee that the adoption will be final?
We're trying to convince them that we are ready and able to adopt. You know, all they need to do is let us know when we can come pick her up.
Sure. For a foreign adoption, as soon as it's been finalized, you'll be able to take advantage of all those expenses that went directly toward that adoption, your travel, your lawyer fees, lodging, food.
Oh, wow.
So even if it's last year and this year added up together, once it's final, you'll be able to take it in next year for it.
In the year that it becomes final.
It becomes final, okay.
And here again, it's good to work with your tax expert. So you'll be able to add up the multiple years as long as each of those years you were married filing jointly or head of the household.
Wonderful. Well, that's great to know.
Spencer, it's a great thing you're doing, and I hope it works out for you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all your help, guys. I'm really hopeful now that we might be able to do something.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for listener letters today. I think I'm walking away with two things. Freeze your credit cards in a ball of ice. And love and life are complicated and make for very complicated financial arrangements.
They are. It can be a fun journey, and we've been on that journey and still having fun at it.
Christy and Bob Walker, co-authors of Personal Finance, Building Your Future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara.